And I have with me on the phone Rabbi Gal Perin.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Rabbi?
I am doing great. Thank God.
So, Parshat HaShavua, the weekly Parsha.
Weekly Parsha, which is Shalach.
Shalach.
A fascinating, you know, wondrous Parsha with Moses sending his 12 spies to the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan, where they're going to go, which becomes Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, which they are supposed to go and spy out and make sure that that everything is easy, and you know, that you can just come in and take over the land.
Yeah.
So 40 days later, they return carrying a huge cluster of grapes, and the reason why grapes is because that was the time of the season of the grapes, pomegranate, and a fig to report on the lush and bountiful land. Excuse me. But 10 of the spies warned that the inhabitants of the land are giants and warriors, and they're more powerful than we are. And only Caleb and Joshua insist that the land can be conquered as God has commanded them. Now, if you think about it, Moses has sent, you know, the best of the tribes, the princesses, the prince, the head of the tribe,
yeah,
of each of the 12 tribes. And before Joshua left on this mission, Moses had the letter Yud to his name, so he was till now Hosea, and now he changed his name to Yehoshua.
Yehoshua.
And, you know, they both came back saying that as a good report. So they returned after searching the land for 40 days, and they were going up this path and that path, going into Hebron, and they were meeting the giants, Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmud. And they came back, and they said, look, we came from the land where you did send us, and yes, indeed, it does flow with halav and vash, milk and honey, and here are the fruits. But the people that dwell in the land are so strong. Their cities are so fortified. They're great.
It's impossible.
It's going to be, they're giants, impossible for us to do it. And Kalev, the spy from the tribe of Yehuda, interrupts all the other spies, his colleagues, and he says, we shall go up and possess it, for we are all able to achieve it. Now, you know, the other ones came back with the evil report. Caleb and Yeshua came back with a good report. And if you think about it, all the commentaries, everyone asks the question, what happened? Where did they go wrong? You know, the spies that, as we said, were dispatched by Moses, they were no ordinary individuals. You know, they were all men of distinction, leaders of the children of Israel. And furthermore, in all of history, it would be difficult to find a generation whose lives were more saturated with miracles than any other person. They came out of Egypt, the most powerful nation on the earth. They were forced from slavery to freedom. By how? By the mighty hand. God intervened and gave them the supernatural 10th plague. When Pharaoh's army pursued them, the sea split for them to pass. Then when they were in the desert, they had manna from heaven, the daily bread. Miriam's well, a miraculous stone, which traveled along with the Israelite camp, that provided them with water. The clouds of glory sheltered them from the desert heat and the cold, kept their clothes clean, destroyed the snakes and the scorpions. For these people now to doubt God's ability to conquer the mighty inhabitants of Canaan seems nothing less than ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yet these are the people whose leader says, we cannot go up against these people, for they are mightier than we. And even than he, in other words, even than God. Where did they go wrong? What happened? why all of a sudden was there this change of their thought process? They were living through miracles all the time. Out of all the generations in the world, they should have absolutely said, well, we're going to be able to go and conquer this land.
You told people it's nothing for us after all we have experienced.
Absolutely, exactly. So it doesn't make sense. But now we need to understand, where did they go wrong? So, you know, there's a lot of simple explanations that, you know, there's the Satan, this and that, but there's a lot deeper. And the Hasidic master, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Leadi, which is the first Chabad Rabbi, the Alter Rabbi, explains like this. He says that the daily miracles experienced by the generations of Exodus did more than provide them with sustenance and protection. The clouds, the manna, the well, they shielded them from any and all involvement in the material world. Because for the first generation of our existence as a people, we lived in a very spiritual life. We didn't have any material concerns. The very food that nourished us was bread from heaven. And we were just sheltered. And indeed, yet, it could not have been any other way, because our sages said that the Torah could have only been given only to the eaters of the man.
Yeah.
And to properly receive and assimilate the divine wisdom, one must utterly be free, you know, of the frustrations of the physical world, and that can only be in the Midbar, in the desert. And this is why the spies in the generation were scared to enter the land, because becoming a people with the land would entail, you know, like everyone else has to do, plowing and sowing and harvesting. It would mean engaging in commerce, in taxes. It would require, you know, the bureaucracy of the run of the land, and you need to have an army to defend it. So their underlying problem with the land was, as the spies expressed it, was it is a land that consumes its inhabitants. It consumes one's time and energy with its, you know, material demand, and its fringes of one's capacity to study the divine wisdom of the Torah. And they were unwilling to relinquish their spiritual, you know, life, utopia of the earthbound life. So based on this, the Alter Rebbe explains that what the spies' argument was. That we cannot go up against these people, for they are mightier than we, notwithstanding the tremendous miracles which God has performed and is performing for us. We cannot have it both ways, argued the spies. Either we're spiritual or either we're physical. We can't be in both ways. And that was their big, big problem. Because, you know, we have to be able to understand, and it has to be in a way of having it both ways. What the spies and their generation failed to understand is that men are not angels. We're part of the world. We have a human spirit, and we have, as well as, we have the animalistic parts of us, and man is empowered to make heaven on earth, to make holy an objective of life. And this is the essence of the divine objective of creation, and the mission entrusted to us at Mount Sinai, to build a dwelling place for God in the lowly realm, to imbue our plowing, our sowing, our business with holy and godly purpose. So, in charging us with this mission, the Creator empowered us to indeed have it both ways, to create a land that is holy, a nature that is miraculous, a reality that is not bound by its own defining parameters, for it serves a purpose greater than itself. So, in order to be able to achieve this dwelling place down for God, down here, it's a two-phase program. We initial state of holiness and spirituality, followed by entrance into the land, an assumption of its material labor. Because in order for us to sanctify the land, one requires the vision of the divine truth of truth, which can only good thing by the man-eaters. So, to break it down, there first has to be the period of utter isolation from the material world. However, this phase, our national resistance, is not an end in itself, but the way in which to acquire the tools and resources to miraculize natural and elevate the everyday. So, in order, and that was their big problem. And because they couldn't see that problem, they couldn't see how to be able to mix physical and spiritual, they didn't have a short route to Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael. They had to go a very long route. And that is what we had to rectify. This is what we have to do in our day-to-day life, is that we have to understand, yes, we have to be spiritual. Yes, we have to learn Torah. Yes, we have to perform the mitzvot. We have to be one connected with God. Absolutely, no doubt. However, we have to take everything from that aspect of spirituality and see, how can I bring it down into the physical world? How can I make that part of my day-to-day life? How can I make that part of my business? That I don't cheat someone. That I'm honest. That brings spirituality into the world. You bring godliness into your business, into your work. And that's why the generation of the desert failed to actualize the unique opportunity which presented itself at that period of time in history. Because for there to be a single generation which would be able to do both things would be of that generation. They had all the spirituality, and now they had the opportunity to be able to mix it in the world. And that they couldn't see, and that they couldn't go out of their spiritual, sacred, supernatural domain. And therefore they weren't able to do it. So it was left to our generation to be able to bring that down into the world, that we enable us to be able to make sure that spiritual aspects of the world and the physical aspects of the world meet together and they become one. Not that the physical take over the spiritual, but that the spiritual becomes part and all of our day-to-day life is directed by the spiritual aspect of the Torah, but in the physical mundane world.
So it's a mixture of the spiritual and the...
You need to have it both ways. You cannot just have it one way.
That's nice. So, Rabbi, what about the services in Shaarei Shamayim?
Services are, we have Friday evening, 7 o'clock, Shabbat morning, 9:30, and Sunday morning, 8:15, followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday in the Parish House at 7:15. And it's a good way to start up your morning. You come, you start up with God, pray with God, put on tefillin if you wish, and move on to your day. It's a different day. Starts off in a spiritual aspect that you can then take that spirituality and make it part of your business office.
And the weekly parasha studies,
which is Monday evening at 8 p.m. at my house.
That's great.
Yep.
So, Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too.
And God willing, we'll speak next week, same time.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.
Be well. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.